I'm Dr. Dave Choksi, the city's health commissioner. While we may need to be home more to reduce the spread of COVID-19, we still need to seek medical care. It is safe to visit a clinic or hospital when we need to. If you have a chronic condition like diabetes or depression, continue to see your doctor and get follow-up care. And please don't hesitate to seek care if you're having symptoms of COVID-19. If you need a doctor, call 311, and if you're having a medical emergency, call 911.
What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, mothers and fathers align, saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages, for all mental health issues, in-school issues, addiction, molestation, technology addiction, something that is so important to discuss and be careful with today, being home with Zoom, children being quarantined, still schooling by Zoom. So, yeah, if you want a program for yourself, a loved one, a therapist, maybe you need an inpatient or an outpatient program, feel free to give Mask a call at 718-758-0400, and we will help you find the right referral for whatever situation you may be struggling with. I'll repeat the number. Maybe it's for yourself, a loved one, a spouse, a neighbor, or someone you usually would sit next to in shul. And again, our number, maybe you want to jot it down, is 718-758-0400. And all calls are confidential. You can even call us anonymously. Just describe your situation, and we will try and get you whatever it is that you may need in the mental health arena. We will try very, very hard to help get you to the right place as quickly as we possibly can with Zoom, with telehealth, and many are now seeing patients in person. So, first of all, I would like to wish everybody tonight Happy Hanukkah, Freilichen Hanukkah, Lichtigen Hanukkah. And I want to welcome on, I'm so happy to have on finally, somebody that we've been wanting to have on for so long, and that is Dr. Sharon Saleem. Good evening and a very happy Hanukkah to you. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me, Ruhama, and thank you to Mask for bringing me on the show, and happy Hanukkah to all of the listeners. It's great to be here, and I'm thrilled to be able to chat with you and offer some support and tips to all of your listeners.
Thank you, and it's really, Dr. Saleem, it's so wonderful to have you and that you made the time to be able to be on with us, especially during Hanukkah. And let me just tell my listeners, you are not only a clinical psychologist, but you're also the author of an award-winning book, and that is What Your ADHD Child Wishes You Knew. And working together to empower kids for success in school and in life. And the ADHD Solution and Card Deck, which specializes in working with kids, young adults, families living with ADHD, learning disabilities, and all mental health issues. Dr. Saleem helps families and adults towards effective communication and closer connections, which is so important to learn how to speak to an ADHD person, an ADHD child. And not only that, but Dr. Celine is a speaker. She goes literally internationally around on topics of understanding ADHD, anxiety, and different kinds of learners. She also is a regular contributor to the ADD magazine, theattitude.com, and Psychology Today. And she's a lecturer at the Smith School for Social Work. So we are very, very, very happy that you made the time come on to speak about ADHD and the effects that it has on families living with somebody that struggles with that diagnosis. So, Dr. Celine, I'm just wondering if you could share with my listeners first, what drew you to working with kids and families with ADHD?
Thank you, Ruhama, for that beautiful introduction. I decided in my 20s, I had been doing intergenerational theater projects, and I found that I was just more interested in the stories people were telling. And I went to graduate school for my doctorate, and as I was in my postdoc and practicing, I found that I was seeing more and more families who were living with ADHD and learning differences and high-functioning autism, and I had a connection with them. And around the same time, my nephew was diagnosed with ADHD, and then my brother thought, oh, you know what, I think I might have this. And then my whole childhood kind of fell into place.
Wow.
And so I just decided that I wanted to devote my clinical life to helping families connect more and argue less, and in some ways by doing that to repair the world, but also to kind of heal my own history. And so that is why I focus on this area, and I have a real personal connection as well as a professional interest.
Right. Wow. Dr. Celine, let's talk about some of the typical struggles that so many families have when there is a loved one that's struggling with the ADHD. Give me some typical struggles that come, you know, every day across your desk, families.
Absolutely. So, you know, first of all, we have to think about, you know, what's been happening with the pandemic versus before the pandemic and hopefully life after. And so what I would focus on right now would be low motivation with school, particularly online learning, a hyper-focus or, you know, over-focus on screens for entertainment, disorganization, difficulties managing with managing impulse control, and also what we call emotional dysregulation, so big feelings that kind of explode or overtake someone, trouble with remembering things and focusing, being able to sustain attention over a task. So you know, your job is to take the trash out, you get to the trash can, you lift the trash out, but then on the counter you see these cookies and you're interested in the cookie, so you put the trash down and you eat a cookie, and then you eat your cookie and you wander into your living room and then the trash is still in the kitchen. So these kinds of this kind of distractibility. And of course, there are three types of ADHD. There's ADHD hyperactivity, impulsivity. There's ADHD with, you know, the inattentive type. And then there's what we call combination ADHD, both with hyperactivity, impulsivity, and inattention.
And how do you describe what your approach is?
My approach is a strength-based approach, which is also evidence-based. And so what I'm interested in is helping families do more of what works. And that means identifying the things that are going well, as well as the challenges, and to grow the things that are going well, to lean into those as we focus on one, as a remediating one challenge at a time. Because ADHD is really a disorder of executive functioning skills. Everybody has executive functioning skills, which reside in the prefrontal cortex. It's the part of our brain that directs our brain. It's the directive capacities of our brain. And we all have the executive functioning skills are things like impulse control, emotional regulation, working memory, planning, prioritizing, shift to flexibility, sustained attention, goal-directed persistence. And the last executive functioning skill to develop in neurotypical kids is metacognition, or what we call metacognitive awareness, what I call self-evaluation. So how are you aware of yourself and what you're doing? How do you make judgments? How do you understand yourself as a person, as a learner in the world? And so that kind of coalesces in neurotypical brains around age 25. And with ADHD brains, what the research has shown is there's about a 3-year delay. So when we talk about working with kids with ADHD, what we're talking about is how to teach these executive functioning skills. Now, people who don't have ADHD have executive functioning challenges, too. You know, I struggle sometimes with emotional control, or I can, struggle with time management, which is a key executive functioning skill. Initiation, how you get started, is another one. For me, the time management and the emotional control challenges are pale in comparison to the strengths that I have that make me, a productive, independent adult. For people who live with ADHD, it's often the reverse. They have one or two executive functioning skills that they really have down, particularly kids, but there's a lot of like the other 9 skills, because there's 11 of them, really need to be developed. And they don't develop in a linear fashion. You know, you make progress on one and then you circle back, and then maybe it's a step or two backwards, but you make progress on another. It works like that.
You know, you talk about the pandemic you brought up, and I find that even if you're not ADHD, I mean, it's hard to focus when you're working from home. And so many of my colleagues are struggling because, like you said, about losing motivation, having less motivation. The 4 walls after so many months, it is very difficult to be motivated and be creative for unlimited amounts of time while you're really not even going outside. So during the pandemic, it's not only the ADHD kids that are having a hard time. I think it's lots and lots and lots of parents that, or people that are alone at home and working. It's hard. It's hard to stay focused.
Absolutely, Ruchama. And it's hard to stay focused because our computers, which are things that we use to play and maybe shop and watch a movie or connect with others, are now where we work all the time. And so it's very easy to be distracted. I see kids who are in class and they're actually watching a YouTube video because they don't have to click their profile, their picture on. So it says their name or an avatar, and then they're actually watching a video on the other side. Or for adults who are having to work from home and their kids are in school and their kids need supervision to stay on task. It's really a mess for everybody.
Absolutely. And interesting, I spoke to somebody just yesterday who sells furniture, and she says you would not believe how busy we are. The furniture companies are also busy because everybody is home, and they're realizing they need, they don't like this, they want that, they need more place, they need more spaces. And she says furniture companies are like booming. People are shopping all day long. So it's very hard. Little kids are, watching a movie And adults are doing a lot of shopping. I know by my home, by my neighbors, boxes and boxes and boxes show up every day. Amazon is so busy by my neighbors every day. So like you said, we use our computer for relaxed time, and you know, we're used to going on the evening or weekends or whatever. There's so much of that now that we're on that it's one big, you know, one big party, unfortunately, but not in a, you know, really happy way, but like people are on the screen, you could have your shopping, and then you can have your talks, you know, your texting, and then you could have your video playing. It's scary. It's hard to stay focused.
It is very hard to stay focused. And the thing is, you know, kids are watching us. So when we live in a house and we're multitasking, kids learn to multitask. And really, Ruhama, multitasking does not exist in the brain. When we shift from one thing to another, we don't pay attention to the things that we're shifting around, because our brain can't make those transitions super well. And we force our brain to do that, which stresses our brain. And in fact, when we multitask, what happens is that we use up the glucose centers of the brain, which is the food that keeps our cells going. And so the adrenaline kicks in. And so now we're really depleting our brains even more. So I think it's very important for families to think about, what is a balanced media diet right now? How much time do you want your kids and yourselves to be on screens for fun? And if you're not going to be on screens for fun, what else are you going to do? And I put some lists up on the fridge, like, here are some activities we could do as a family instead of screens. And here's the time when we're going to have screens, but we're going to have dinner without screens. And maybe we'll play a game or do a puzzle, or if you're going to do a screen, you know, watch a movie together. Change it up, because not all screens are created equal. You know, there's a difference between gaming and shopping and watching a video and texting a friend. And we want to have those different activities to keep our diet balanced, as well as complement it with outside activity, because that really feeds all of our brains.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, because the young, I described how the young are on the computer with so many distractions on one, you know, just all at the same time. And meanwhile, my colleagues, my friends, we're having a hard time even learning how to use the computer still. You know what I mean? Some of my friends.
Absolutely.
So they don't even know that their kids are, you know, doing all these. By press of a button, they could delete the movie, and then the parent doesn't even see. You know what I mean? Parents think they're in front of the computer and they're learning. It's a mess. So let's go back to ADHD. What do kids with ADHD really wish adults knew?
What kids wish ADHD knew form the basis of my approach, which are the 5 C's of ADHD parenting. And what kids wish you knew are, number one, they don't like it when you lose control and when they lose control. It's much harder for them to keep themselves together if you are dysregulated. So the first C is self-control. Adults will have to manage themselves first, and then they can help their kids, contain themselves or process what's going on. The second thing that kids want is they want to feel understood, even if they don't understand themselves. And this is the second C, which is compassion. We're going to meet kids where they are, not where we think they should be. And we're not going to expect perfection from them or from ourselves. Instead, we're going to work on our relationship so we maintain that attunement, that attachment that's so important. The third thing kids want is they want to be included in any decisions or programs that are made for them. For example, you're making a decision about how they should study, but you're not talking with them about what subjects are easy for them and what subjects are hard, or how do they like to sit down and work? Do they like to do something easy and get on a roll and then do something that's challenging, or do they like to do the challenging thing first and get it out of the way? So we want to collaborate with kids, which is the third C, collaboration, and we want to use meaningful incentives to help them accomplish what they need to do, because there are two types of motivation, extrinsic outside of us and intrinsic inside of us. And intrinsic motivation doesn't really coalesce in people until they're in their late teens or early 20s for neurotypical kids. And we have to add 3 years. And so we use external rewards, incentives, to help kids do the have-tos and then earn the want-tos. The fourth C is consistency. And what kids have told me over and over again is they don't like it when their parents say they're going to do one thing but actually do something completely different. It's very confusing for these concrete thinkers. And they also want to be noticed for their efforts as much as for the end product. And efforting is part of consistency because you try again. So we're not looking for, perfection. What we're looking for is steadiness. And the fifth C has to do with positivity. So a lot of kids with ADHD tell me they hear so many negative comments about themselves, so much negative feedback. You know, one little girl said, I don't know why you call it, positive feedback. There's no such thing. It's all negative to me. And so this is the fifth C, celebration. Now, this doesn't mean we're going to bake a cake because your child clears the table. Instead, and it also doesn't mean telling our kids how special they are and how great they are. What celebration is you giving specific feedback for specific actions. So we're acknowledging, we're validating efforts, and we're validating, finished tasks and accomplishments. So kids feel like they hear many, many more criticisms than they do, validation. And Dr. Barbara Fredrickson and her colleagues at the University of Pennsylvania have researched this, and she found that the ideal positivity ratio should be three positives for every negative. That's three positives for every negative. And honestly, Lukama, as I've traveled around the world, what people tell me is that their kids with ADHD, actually, it's more like one positive for every 10, 15, or even 20 negatives. Kids themselves say it's between 20 and 30 negatives a day because it's a combination of what people tell them and what they tell themselves. And this is very sad, and it leads to, it leads to all kinds of challenges with self-esteem and fixed mindsets and things that we don't want our kids to live with. We want them to stay open and curious. So celebration is really helpful for fostering that.
You know, Dr. Celine, it's very hard to stay compassionate when a child is acting inappropriately. So you have a family with five kids, one has ADHD. I mean, it really upsets the apple cart a bit in a family. Mm-hmm. So parents really need to learn about it early on and read your book and other books so that it doesn't come to that, and that they learn early on about, like you said, five compliments to one event that could be very, tiresome and upsetting to live through. Everything's a big deal when it's an ADHD kid. It's not easy. How do you teach self-control to an ADHD kid?
Well, that's a really good point. So obviously, we are all doing the best we can with the resources we have available to us. And that's really what compassion is. And parents have to be compassionate with themselves. you know, that's what I talked about. I said, you know, we're not expecting perfection, either, you know, perfection in compassion or perfection in consistency. What we want to do is remember that when kids are acting out, it's because they lack the coping skills to manage in the situation where they are facing the challenges. And so kids don't like acting out that way. It feels bad afterwards. And so what we want to do is to try to help families by noticing what the pattern of things are that upset them. And obviously there will be different things that upset kids at different times. What we want to do is come up with a strategy for times of upset rather than trying to play whack-a-mole with every single different thing that's going to upset your child. So we want to come up with a strategy, and the strategy that I talk about in my book is called Stop, Think, Act. So things are escalating. You cause a pause in the action. You call a pause in the action. You have a pre-arranged agreement of how long that's going to be and what people can do to help manage themselves. Sometimes that might be giving your child a hug. Sometimes that might be reading a story. Sometimes that might be having your child go into their room and listen to music or play with a family pet. You want to have a sense of what those things are, like a calm me down list. In fact, some families, I encourage you to go to the dollar store and create a calm me down box for your kids. So everyone has some time to lower the intensity and the volume. You yourself, included as an adult, might need to go to the bathroom and splash some water on your face and say, you've got this to yourself, right? Then you come back together and you talk about what's happened. You know, what did you notice? What could you have done differently? What would you have liked to have seen happen? And then that's not your teaching moment. Instead, what you're going to do is you're going to say, okay, what is the next right thing for us to do to move on? And you do that. The teaching moment comes later in the day, or maybe even the next day, when things are completely calmed down. Because if you try to teach in that moment, you're going to re-stimulate the upset. And we want to keep things calm.
Got it. Absolutely. Well, you know, we can go on and on about this topic. Probably five shows and review your book. But we're running out of time. I want to thank you so much again for being on, for taking the time, Dr. Sharon Saleen. And again, she is the author of the book, What Your ADHD Child Wishes You Knew. So go out and buy it. You can get it on Amazon. And anyone that wants to reach the doctor, you can feel free. Call MASK 718-758-0400. Thank you, Dr. Saleen, so much. Hope to have you on again soon.
Thank you so much, Ruchama, for having me. And thank you to MASK for inviting me as well. And I would love to come back anytime.
Absolutely. Would love to have you again. I want to wish everybody a wonderful end of Hanukkah, Lichtekel Hanukkah, Freilichem Hanukkah. Wish everyone a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos, and always remember, hang in, hold on, and for now, virtually, hug tight. Tonight's show is in memory of Simcha Shmuel Ben Moshe. Thank you. Have a good night.
With colder weather, we'll all be spending more time indoors, where less air circulates and there are more people. And it will be even more important to keep our face coverings on. Face coverings help prevent the spread of COVID-19. Keep yourself and others safe. Do your part. Wear your face covering, indoors and outdoors. Learn more at nyc.gov/health/coronavirus.
Did you ever consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.